It is Thursday, the 3rd of September 2015, and this is episode 257 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along to the latest episode. I am Chris, joined as always and ever by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Evening, Chris.
Oof. Nice evening?
No. It's been a busy week and not a great day.
Yeah, I'm a little bit stressed. This is probably the most relaxed I've been for a little while.
I'm not stressed. I'm on drugs, so I feel quite mellow.
Post them down. Let's talk news. This week's tech news, and going to start with Facebook, who have managed to hit 1 billion users accessing their services in a single day, which is absolutely bonkers. That is 1 in 7 people on planet Earth accessed Facebook all in one day, which is a bit of a milestone, and I think they're pretty proud of it, as you can imagine.
It's a crazy big milestone. Absolutely. And I don't know. I mean, remember they used to have the milestone counts and it was like 100 million and 300 million and 500 million and then they stopped.
Yeah.
But to have 1 billion unique users on your service on a single day.
Yeah. I mean, who knows how they're measuring that? We know that there's fake accounts that will be adding into that, people testing, whatever, but not that's any going to affect those figures. That it's just amazing that even that many people are connected. You know, just amazing. I cannot imagine what the databases look like.
No, and the thing is, and I can't imagine how much data they have. You think you'll get 1 billion people and all the data that they've aggregated about you.
It's bonkers. And just to think that, you know, I'm just trying to think of broadband providers saying, you know, you can have 0.5 gig of data.
But you think about hacks, and we've talked a few recently and how much data has been released. Imagine if Facebook ever got hacked. And the data
to be honest, the amount of scraping that goes on, people are hacking Facebook data every day. It's called apps.
Yes, that is true.
It's available. Go get it. Unbelievable. And just bonkers.
Well done for such a sucky app to have so many people.
Yeah, it's true. PayPal. They've launched PayPal.me, a simple way to request money. We've seen several services similar to this, but it's basically a nice short URL way of requesting money just for the kind of microtransactions, payments between friends, I guess, club subscriptions, stuff like that. All mobile first. So a really nice, easy interface to use. You can go and pick your URL now if you'd like. Just go to paypal.co.uk and there'll be a link there to paypal.me where you can choose.
I have done so. I have a paypal.me/Ian Dick. Please donate.
And I have a paypal.me/Chris Hutchinson. So
ideal.
Anyone wants to pay money, choose your favourite Digital Outbox correspondent.
You dog.
Race starts now.
Yeah, I've got. I will drone if you buy me a battery. So.
Yeah, dances for cash, drones for cash.
Exactly.
I've not actually used the service, but basically it's just a kind of shorthand interface to that. You know, already you could send it via your email address, and now you can send a link to your friends. And like, it's mobile friendly, so it's designed for those small sort of transactions. You can, as a business, offer goods and services through it as well, but obviously you start getting charged then. Most friends, family kind of payments will be free to send and receive.
I should think so, but you never know with PayPal.
No, they leave it very woolly. They say most transactions between friends and family will probably not be charged. Maybe one day they will, kind of thing. They bought a product, Venmo, does a very similar thing, but that's only US focused. This one is worldwide and available generically. And why wouldn't you? PayPal has done a good job of turning around a service, which I think most people sort of, I don't know, deriled is the right word, but it certainly wasn't well looked on. And now it kind of is one of the de facto norms. It still costs a lot to use, though.
It does, but they're it's a bit like it's a bit like an Amazon. They've been there for so long now, yes. It's trusted. You know, so people do generally trust it. And even though probably like me and you have issues with it because we reported on them for so long, and if you're in a certain tech bubble, you'll know about their issues, but most folk don't.
But we've not heard that recently either. They've done a good jobish. Yeah.
And even like, but it used to be their website was awful. I mean, it looked like a website from the late 90s. You
know, and they've done a good 2000s. Job of turning that around as well.
And PayPal, it looks nice.
Yeah, it looks really, really inviting, shall we say. Like you're not really dealing with money. And I guess that's the whole thing of this whole, digital and contactless is that you just don't feel like you're dealing with money anymore.
Yeah, so paypal.me/IanDick. That's the one to choose.
I would say Chris Hutchinson sounds like a much better deal. Race you. Google has been telling people how to get around Apple's security rules. So Apple have been putting in a new security protocol to basically protect privacy. ATS standards. What does ATS stand for? Anyone know?
I don't know.
Anyway, ATS standards, apparently.
App Transport Security.
There you go. And this is to help people's privacy. Google have identified that it will prevent some ads from showing when developers can't put that in place straight away. So as a short-term solution, they've told app developers the line of code they need to use to remove that transport layer. That has caused people to call Google naughty for promoting ads above privacy. Apparently it's not against the Apple rules. Apple have also released the same information to developers should they need it.
And I guess the usual kind of echo chamber, and all the Apple sites were like, typical Google, they're nasty. Sure. This is typical of them.
Apple purer than pure?
And nobody's really pointed out that Apple have had it on their website for months. Same, you sort of work around it.
And they've had it on their website for months, no one should belittle the fact that one of the reasons Apple will be putting this in place is because they know their own app advert platform probably will work through it.
Yeah.
And anything they can do to shrink Google's...
Absolutely. I do, I drink the Apple kind of Kool-Aid and stuff, and I do like Apple products, but honestly, and every so often the fanboy will come out of me as well, but some of the stuff...
is annoying, isn't it? But nevertheless, they are right in some respects in that, as users, privacy shouldn't become above advertising. They should be more encouraging people to get their acting gear and try and get their ads working with this ATS standards. But nevertheless, such is life. And also, if developers don't get the money to support them being developers, well, those apps will die. That's the long and short of it, really. And ads is the revenue that pays. That's a mantra on life that I never thought would come out of my mouth. Google, Chrome is going to stop auto-playing Flash adverts. That's actually in place now. So that's been since September the 1st. They are going to decide which adverts are not central to the actual, or what Flash videos are not central to the page you're on, and will leave them paused. Up until you've got the option to click on them if you want them to start playing. And rightly, they put this down to saying, well, it's because they're chewing up CPU, which if you've ever done any sort of digging into battery and CPU cycles, Flash adverts are the absolute killers.
Yes, Flash. Chrome also doesn't do a good job, but a lot
Chrome
of the time...
is a power, memory, and... resource hungry beast.
Yes.
Early days of we rocket ship fast, light and airy.
It's almost went through the same cycle as Firefox. Remember Firefox was the kind of
and Internet Explorer. Yeah. All of them.
But that same cycle of like, oh, it's really fast, that's what we're focused on. Bloop, 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 bloop. Oh,
so, yeah, it went from we're the lightning fast, really good thing. Oh, now we're an operating system.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah. How did that? Yeah. Sundar, we have a problem. But yeah, it's good. It's good to see. I mean, it's cruel, but it's good to see. It's good to see Flash dying.
Flash is not long for this world. basically.
It's got its place. There's certain things that I think it's good for. But like, see when I go to a
it's
website.
It's not many now, though, is it?
No, but see when I go to a website and it says, you need Flash to view this, you're like, no. It's just nobody's going to bother. You're just going to go even. Elsewhere. Content's not that important.
Been busy this week. Google have announced new logos. So the serif has gone. There are now a sans serif font, very much more streamlined, clean, focused.
So quick test. Do you like the logo, yes or no?
I do quite like it.
So do I. I thought it was excellent.
So there we go. We're in agreement. Digital Outbox likes the new logo.
Yes.
It is very much, it does look much more junior, but nevertheless, it does, you know, it looks like, it kind of goes along with Alphabet. It's that real basic, what was this? Was it Speak and Spell? Was it used to the TV programs that used to be on for kids?
Yep.
You know, round and up and down. I can't remember. Yeah, Speak and Spell, I think it was called. Looks just like that. But the colours remain the same, and the new G logo is distinctive and kind of goes along with the design they've been going with Android for a little while. So, yeah, I think it works.
And this is the thing I mean about like Apple fanboys. So Gruber posted up saying, you know, it just shows the company has no taste. And lots of you know, Apple folk that I follow are all like, there you go. You know, it's like, it's no taste. Like, but who?
Yeah, but they did material backgrounds on the operating system.
Yeah. You know, and it's like, I look at some of the things like Game Center. I look at some of that crud. Yeah,
half of the new icon designs, the Apple, all Safari awful. Icon. Just
they're awful. You know, and it's like they're in total denial of to think that it's like everything that Apple touches shows taste. It's like some things they do.
Generally speaking, they nail it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But
then I can go and look at material design on Android right now, and it's
far in excess of iOS.
It's generally nailed. You know what I mean? It's a nailed design. So a company's logo, you know, one change of logo. Another thing, if I compare it to the old logo, I far prefer it because the old kind of Google with that style of writing just looked tired.
I generally hate serif fonts anyway. But to be honest, it doesn't really affect my life. Don't really care that much.
No, no.
So I'm not going to spend that much longer. It's fine. I certainly wouldn't go into the wishy-washy rubbish, other words for saying that, that the design agencies would come out with why they've come up with this. I love how much they can just charge to say, we're going to turn it sans serif and we're going to flatten it.
Yeah. No, I know. And it's, I mean what I love as well is the kind of designers that I follow on Twitter who have started to go into, like, you know, a whole blog post critiquing it. And here's why. And why was this slanted at this? And why was this space like that? And it's like, nobody knows.
Nobody knows. And the old E used to do that, so why not do it with the new one?
Yeah.
It's playful. There you go. I'm getting at it. Apple are teaming up with Cisco to try and get the enterprise market. So it's still the market that Apple have struggled. I don't think they failed. I think they've struggled to penetrate. Big organizations, corporations still don't have what they perceive to be the control over and security sort of aspects that they need on Apple devices. So they're working with Cisco. Cisco have a route into, I guess, most of the massive corporations around the world. And I think they're hoping that partnership will enable them to penetrate those markets.
It's a bit like IBM. So it was a year ago since the IBM deal. And again, this is a similar one. It's like, you know, if Apple, as you say, slightly struggled maybe to meet inroads, maybe not got that big enterprise, you know, consultancy type part of their business that the IBMs and Ciscos and Microsofts, you know, and the Oracles.
Well, you know,
all
in
have.
Your organizations that you struggle to try and get Apple in there for, though, because people don't have the trust or the it's just the knowledge and the general, it's been done before over here, so you can do it again.
But the nice thing that's happening is like the death of BlackBerry is forcing people to look at alternatives.
And all of the, you can bet your dollar that the workforce want it.
Oh, I'll just say this, it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good.
So, yeah, and I guess the IBM deal maybe hasn't given them the penetration they wanted, so they've gone bigger again. And if at first you don't succeed, try again, something.
And I think it's a different segment. So this is, I think the IBM one is actually looks to be on paper doing really well.
Okay.
And so IBM have a number of different software options, and certainly, you know, they push iOS as a really good platform. this is seemingly going, you know, it's the other part of it, you know, so it's, you know, making, you know, some of the networking equipment, you know, almost like prefer iOS as a platform. And it's changed days. I mean, I think it was it when the iPhone came out that Cisco sued Apple for because of the name? I think they had a product called iPhone.
Oh, I don't know.
And it's just changed days, you know.
Chase Apple, the money.
And also if you look at things like growth of iPad, you know, that tablet sector, I think, is becoming it's good for the home, but it's a every 3, 4, 5 year purchase, you know, and enterprises still see it as the, you know, a really good big market.
And Apple have to look for the next, you know, where is their next market? Because the amount of iPhones and iPads they've sold is just ridiculous. You know, we're talking about Facebook being 1 in 7 people around the world. Well, it's not far off probably who own an iPad and an iPhone based on the numbers that are out there.
Exactly. Just... And we'll see next week. So next Wednesday is their big event. And it, by all accounts, it's a big event because it's a 7,000-seater hall that they're in.
Yeah.
So I can't see it just being here's a couple of new phones.
He's getting excited already, everyone. He's getting excited. Netflix, they're going to cull... they're basically chopping their agreement with Epix Film, who make such blockbuster extravaganzas as Transformers. What else do they make? Do they make anything else? Hunger Games as well. So basically, they were paying something which was reported to be about $1 billion, so £650 million for that deal to show those films on Netflix. They said they are particularly, you know, they're popular, but I think Netflix have realized Netflix is great at original content and at original content series, you know, these multi-show series. And I think people are really hungry for that rather than films. So they've chopped the deal and Hulu have picked that deal up. So Hulu are very excited to be able to offer these fantastic films like Transformers and The Hunger Games, because they reckon their customer base is hungry for the new big releases, basically. I don't know what your feelings are, but say I find I much prefer watching long, ongoing, episodic, good TV show type
series. Yeah, I think it's the kind of box set, you know, kind of notion is working for a lot more people. And also what is key for these guys is to have their own content or else you're never going to go there. You know, so we've seen Top Gear and Amazon, how much Amazon paid for that. And also Netflix is quite data driven. So this, I'm sure, is going to be a data driven, you know, punt on where the, you know, where the market's going.
If they can spend $1 billion on their own original content on something, you know, like a House of Cards or whatever, I think they can see that brings them more ongoing money. And Breaking Bad was such a massive coup for them.
Well, the thing is, $1 billion. I mean, and I don't know. I mean, is that a billion a year? They were playing.
I bet it was $1 billion a year.
You know, so that's probably what, you know, 10 Game of Thrones. You know, I mean, was that not 3 or 4 million an episode?
And if that money, you know, can go into making these good TV shows, equivalent of TV shows, then I think they're onto an amazing... I mean, I'm only talking selfishly here, but I think Hollywood's been on the kind of, here's a film, it's 2 hours long, this is the format, this is roughly how we're going to beginning, middle and end it, and off we go, there's our next blockbuster. They've been doing that for so long now that I just don't think people are enthused by films now that they can indulge themselves in these massively long... I mean, you know, all the... If you think about the blockbusters now, they're things like The Hobbit, things like Lord of the Rings, they had to be spread over 4 years, you know, to try and give that same effect. But a TV series can do it
better. Well, I think to a certain extent, but then there's things like, you know, Mad Max, which was just fantastic. You know, it was, you know, just as a film, I just thought, as a standalone film, was great. I loved it.
Okay.
You know, it was a great spectacle. Can't wait for James Bond film coming up. Can't wait for, you know, Star Wars. And again, but Star Wars is back to, it's going to be 3 films and all that kind of good stuff.
Do you think, maybe it's just me, or maybe it's this the time commitment that you need to sit down for a 2 hour film at home. I much prefer committing an hour. This feels...
No, there is that, because it does feel more... And sometimes
you do have to, you have to sit down and go, right, I'm going to watch a film now for 2.5 hours.
Yeah. No, agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. But that's because you're watching Celebrity Big Brother every night.
You know what? Even I have struggled to try and watch every single episode. I will manage, I will persevere, but it is a bit rubbish.
I think the other challenge I can see with Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime, you know, they're all sort of, everybody stops wanting to pay, you know, so we've got like the Skys and Virgins here. Everybody wants to, you know, cut the cable. That's going to be the next big thing. You only want to pay for what you watch. But nobody wants to pay for Amazon and Netflix and Hulu and them all individually.
Because then you're in the same situation. You're paying more probably then.
You're paying more. And this is the thing. So we saw it with Top Gear. You know, people were not saying crying, but they were like, oh man, why didn't Netflix get that? You know, why did Amazon get that?
Problem is, I don't think that we're never going to be in the situation where these shows will be on multiple of these services.
No, because everybody wants their own content. You know, so there's lots of rumors that Apple are looking to develop their own content. And sure they are. I mean, Microsoft are trying it. You know, so you've seen some of the talk about Xbox original content. They're trying to
get... And then we're back at the original situation is you're having to pay for the dross that you just don't want. You're not interested
in. No, I know. But Sky are doing it as well. I mean, Sky are finally investing serious dollar, you know, and making their own content because they realise they can't just rely on buying the content from America because there's too many competitors now, so they can't get it all.
The way we consume content nowadays as well, because we can, we can consume seven series of a long-standing thing that's been going for 7 years within, you know, a couple of months or whatever. We consume that content faster than they can create it at the moment. And I think Sky have realised that as well. You know, hey, we've bought all this stuff, but we're putting it on our thing, show, and then it's gone.
And that's why I think they push so much like the box set capability. You know, we've got all this fantastic, you know, so Netflix have talked about it for a while, but we actually have it as well. And it's not just new stuff that's coming on. Let's go and watch The Wire.
Their licenses run out. I mean, as in they're frustrating with The Wire on Sky. It's not like it's permanently there. It's there for a period and then it disappears for a bit and then it's back again. So at the moment, like The Wire disappears in the next, I think, 10, 15 days. So it will go away and I'm sure it'll come back again. But nevertheless, at the moment, if you've got them all downloaded and stacked, after, say, 15 days, they all get automatically deleted and removed.
Bye-bye.
Exactly. So, you know, that's, it's still, I don't know what the deals are, but they haven't quite cracked it. They've nearly got it because, you know, They do offer a good service, I have to say.
I think they're all offering fairly good services now.
You know, like you say, it's by the time you've consumed all those services, you're then paying 500 quid a year, 600 quid a year, 700 quid a year. A lot of money. Amazon Prime is now offering offline TV viewing or offline show viewing. Download and watch.
Which I think people expect, you know, it's like, it's already saying it was, you know, it's as free as part of Prime and all that kind of good stuff. But it's a bit like iPlayer. You know, you have to now think about that mobile consumer and you're not going to be, you know, 4G's not, you know, nobody's going to pay for that much bandwidth.
The commuter, the flyer, the, you know, I on a train, you're not going to get that consistent thing. You want something to watch or listen to.
Definitely not. So it's like, that's ideal. Download a movie, watch.
So again, they're doing a good job, as Amazon tend to do. They're doing a good job of giving the infrastructure its capabilities. They just now need to, they need Top Gear to come out and then they'll start getting subscribers. I think they're probably just hanging off that at the moment.
Top Gear is going to drive loads of people.
Of course it will. And
or keep people that were maybe swithering with Prime, because you get caught up with Prime thinking, oh yes, it's good. But if you don't use it enough, and I do use it enough, but if you don't, it's like, what a waste of money.
100% in it. I mean, and that's why I've never signed up to Prime, because I know I wouldn't get the delivery deal, which is where they started all this. Yeah. Started on the delivery deal. I don't get enough deliveries to make that worthwhile. You know, yeah, like Top Gear can't come soon enough. I think it will be a big driver. But they've got to back that up and they've got to make sure that is worthwhile.
Yes.
Smart Things got a new home hub. So this was bought. Was this the Samsung?
Yeah, so Samsung bought Smart Things, and we should say the next few are all about IFA. So IFA is like yesterday and today and tomorrow. So this is a big kind of European tech show. So there's lots of 4K tellies and 4K phones and all sorts of nonsense. So Smart Things, Samsung are doing lots of announcements, and Smart Things is getting smarter.
And sleeker,
and slightly cheaper. So you can buy a little hub now for $99. All the little devices it supports, the official ones have all been made a little bit smaller and, you know, a bit more, you know, so all the kind of know, switches and, you know, sensors, all a bit smaller and easier to hide. And I think from memory there was a thing about, you know, the hub. Yeah, it's got sort of battery backup in it now. So if there's no power, because you can do video monitoring and security monitoring.
So it can last for 10 hours if the power gets cut. And they can still talk to each other via the sort of internal networks and stuff, rather than having to rely on a hub that is powered up or whatever.
I think smart things are probably the best place to be, you know, independent. I know they've been bought by by Samsung, but, you know, like Apple and HomeKit is quite proprietary, and I think some of the other Google stuff is quite proprietary. This seems to be the closest.
I think there's a lot of hunger for this. I think they just need those additional devices, rather than just having sensors and hubs. They need those home application kits where they can say, here's the kit that you need to do all these things in your home. And I think that'll end up, you know, it's great. You know, you've been broken into, you know, great. I know that now, and fantastic. Thanks. What they need is, you know, this is your home protection kit, and it comes with the ability to turn on and off lights on a schedule. You can look at here's the cameras that you put into your room so you can see what's going on. Here are the sensors you use to tell whether your doors and windows have been opened.
Here's the automatically deployed drone with taser that you can fly around and zap people with. How cool would that be? That's that one.
taser, until you find it was your gran giving you a surprise visit or something.
Shocking. I know.
Android Wear smartwatches. They're going to make them work with iPhones, kinda. So it'll basically be an app on your iPhone which will allow the smartphone to communicate with that phone, but the being inside someone else's empire, they have very limited access, so it will work in some situations and not in most, basically.
So, but, like the Pebble, you just don't get as good experience. And to be honest, I think if you had an iPhone and you wanted a smartwatch, you wouldn't be looking at Android Wear.
No, I think they're just, you know, Android Wear hasn't sold as they wanted it to. They're trying to expand their market. They can see that there is potentially a market there where someone doesn't want to shell out for a full-on iWatch, Apple Watch, sorry. But they do want some sort of smart device on their wrist. But yeah, it's a little bit... I don't know, half-assed, I guess. But still, it's, you know, it seems important that they've got all these products, and Motorola have announced their Moto 360 watches. These were the ones that caught the attention of everyone when Android Wear was first announced at the Google I/O, because it was a nice round device and interface. Problem is, they lost some of that interest because other people have released these since, and because Android Wear is such a defined look. You can't really differentiate with anything other than hardware, and people got there first. To summarise.
Yeah, and I think the problem is as well, there was that little bit at the bottom, so it was round, and it did look nice, but it was just that little bar across the bottom, so it was like the bottom little, what, 5% was cropped off, and it's still the same. It's you really needed it to be, you know, it's just that little, it's just little things like that. And also, I think it was almost like 5-10% too chunky as well.
Yeah. We're coming on to the Gear S2 in a second. But
the Motorola does, I actually do think it looks nice. I don't know.
They look better than that. They certainly look better than the iWatch for me. So the Apple Watch for me.
Yeah, I don't know. It just looks, as I said, it just looks a bit too chunky for me when I'm wearing the Apple Watch. It doesn't feel like a smartwatch I'm wearing, probably because it doesn't do anything apart from tell the time. But the it's my kind of running gag. People will say still, oh, you've got the Apple Watch. How are you liking it? It's like, tell the time. Yeah, but what does it do? I says, tell the time. Apps-wise, it's just not great. It's great for Apple Pay. I'm loving the Apple Pay. As is Jack now. He's just buying stuff just...
you found a use Apple Pay. Yeah. Your own money.
The Moto 360 did look smart, but as you said, the Gear S2 has been, I think we got it teased a month ago, and they've done a bigger reveal today.
Yep.
It looks really nice.
Yeah, so the 360 is starts at 229. So what does the gear, does it give gear pricing?
I don't think the price has been released yet.
No, so it's going to be interesting to find out. Again, though, looking at the pictures of it, it's a circular watch. It looks like a watch, but it does look chunky. It looks big.
It looks big, but this has got some design in it. So
yes.
So remember when the bezel, everybody talked about this digital bezel that the Apple Watch had, and that was a great way of navigating. And the S2 so far, people have focused on, look at the round icons. They're just totally ripped Apple off there. But the thing that maybe people don't appreciate is that the bezel is an actual rotating bezel, and that's what you use to navigate around. So it is touchscreen driven.
Mm-hmm.
But when I saw people using that tonight in video, it was like, that looks
clever,
easier than try to use the little digital crown. Sorry, I said digital bezel. Yeah. The digital crown that's on the Apple Watch. And it actually looks, it's still chunky, but it actually looks like they've put design in it. You know, they've got a proprietary format for the strap so you can easily release. When the Apple Watch came out, it was like, why has nobody done this? So Samsung, quick innovation, or quick copying, I should say. And they've got something quite similar. But then they've got a more, what they're calling, there's a more kind of design featured one where the bezel has got these little kind of notches in it. It's leather straps. And again, they look like a watch that I would wear. And see the fact, because it's round, it looks like a watch.
Yeah, and at glance, these things, when they've got a clever watch face design, you know, digital design on it, they look like high-end watches, some of these things now.
Absolutely. This is running, it's not running, but it's not running Android Wear, it's running Tizen, their own OS.
Mm-hmm.
The screen looks decent. But it'll be interesting to see how much, you know, running in Tizen holds it back. Samsung have said they've worked with, you know, there's 100 or 1,000 apps, and they've worked with 100 development teams. So you've got Uber, and you've got a good weather app, and you've got all these other things.
I wonder whether it is based around Android still, or whether it's a fork. I don't know the details of Tizen, whether it's completely their own homebrew, or whether they've started from Android and forked it.
And it's interesting because they've got eBay, Twitter, BMW, Nike Plus, so the usual suspects. And the one that always amazes me, Facebook isn't on any of these platforms yet.
But what can you do with Facebook on your wrist?
Even just getting status updates.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just surprised. You know, the same way as Twitter. Why would you want Twitter on your wrist?
I don't.
And neither do I. You know, it's just that apart from, like, if I get a DM, it might be of interest just to see what the DM says. It's a bit like, you know, if you get me in Hangouts, you know, it's just like I can quickly just see it and think, do I need to do anything? No, I don't. Or I do, and I can go and reply. Yeah. But just, you know, as an information, you know, generator, it's nice. But I actually thought the S2, you know, and I've slagged off Samsung terribly. I really liked the S2. I think that is a winner.
It's for me, it's still a technology that hasn't got its killer yet. It still hasn't fully convinced me yet. Some people are, you know, they're sold on it. They like it. So, and it's part of their everyday life now. And you know, just, yeah.
Shaq made an interesting point the other day. He dislikes the Apple Watch because he feels forced to wear it.
Yeah.
And he feels forced to wear it because of the, you know, steps and circles and all that kind of stat tracking.
Right. So he feels like when it's off his wrist, he's actually losing out.
Yeah. And it's a bit like, you know, and I know you laughed at me and Brian when we said, oh, I've forgotten the Fitbit and I've turned around and went home and got it. It's that same thing.
Yeah.
Once
you don't want to lose that data because you've worked hard for it.
Yeah, it's in your head, you're like, oh no, my steps, oh no, my circles. And it's like an artificial thing, but it does dry it. And I've seen people complaining about, you know, well, anyway, at 10 to the hour, it'll tell you to stand up. It's like, you can turn that off, stop being a sheep. You know, but people to complain about that, but you can turn it off. You know, it's like, just live your life. You do not need something to tell you to stand up at 10:02. And people see shaking their hand because you can shake your hand and con it. And it's like, what is the point of that? Just to fill a circle? Turn it off.
Everything's a game, though. These are people that will play Facebook games. It's basically...
And you know what the best thing about gamers are? They always want to cheat. Doesn't matter who they are, always want to cheat.
Always want to look for the glitch. 4K smartphone from Sony. The Xperia Z5 Premium. Skipped out the 2K, gone to 4K, which 801 pixels per inch. and just bonkers numbers. And in a very, very sort of square designer type focused form factor. Looks reasonable. Yes. But its killer feature is the 4K.
It's 4K. They're still saying up to 2 days battery life.
I know, that's the mad thing about it, is how have they done that?
Yeah, but I'd probably have preferred it to be a 1080p screen and had like 4 or 5 days battery life.
Let's face it, you're not going to buy it anyway, so you wouldn't have preferred anything, really.
Well, I still feel sorry for Sony. To me, they make some fantastic phones and tablets that nobody's going to buy.
No.
And that's harsh. No, it's not nobody's going to buy it. It's just...
But they're not going to be bought in any specific numbers. So, no. Yeah, you're right. And there you go. I think it's the direction of it. I don't think it'd be long before other phones are doing 4K. I mean, I can't... It wasn't that long ago when we were amazed that you had a 1080p screen on a phone. And now we're up to 4K. So, you know, it is relentless, isn't it? It's amazing.
But you kind of think, that's you maxed out now.
Yeah, you always think that, don't you? You can't do that anymore.
But on a 5.5-inch screen, I mean, is somebody going to turn around and say, I've went 8K? You know what I mean?
It's going to get to the point where the technology will change and there won't be such a thing as a pixel. It will be, it'll just be a liquid, you know.
Yeah, but you know what I mean?
It
just feels silly.
Nevertheless, you know, silly. People thought Retina was silly and now we like it. So people thought all these things are... You know, technology beyond necessity, really. But nevertheless, you get used to them; they exist, and
I think there's some things that
progress.
I think some things are valid, and there's other things feel like they are driven by marketing. How can we differentiate ourselves? How can we differentiate ourselves? Okay, so Retina wasn't enough, and 2K is not enough. 4K, boom.
There will always be that aspect to it. I don't think higher resolution. What's that, sorry?
Apple are one of the worst for it.
I don't think an advancement in technology is a bad thing because it leads on to other things, right? Sometimes holding stuff back and then releasing it in another release, that frustrates me. Like Apple not having ports and then adding them one by one and then not doing this, that, the other, because they're going to save that for the next release. Yes. That bugs me because that's all marketing and sales driven rather than technology driven.
Or even it's some of that bugs me, but not as much as when it's you can't change your background wallpaper, and the next release is you can now change your background.
Yes,
and it's like that is nonsense, absolute drivel.
Like for years you couldn't change your ringtone, and now you can change your ring. There are other aspects of because they've got their range of products deliberately stifling one of their lower down products because otherwise it'll end up being better. Car market has this all the time, right? But there's technology equivalents. Car manufacturers not wanting to make their cheaper cars good because then it detracts from their far, far more expensive cars, which potentially could, you know, are worse cars. So it happens in the technology market as well.
No, definitely. And cars, I mean, like all the kind of in-car entertainment stuff, you know, just let me push my phone content onto your screen. No.
Do you remember back in the Intel days when they made that? I can't remember. There was an Intel 4i and an Intel 4s or something along those lines. And the cheaper one, they actually had to spend more money manufacturing because they made the expensive chip and then physically had to break a component on it. Because it was cheaper for them to do that than to have two production lines going. But actually, it cost them more to make the cheaper and worse product because they actually had to spend more time breaking it.
I thought it was back to the, when it was there not like 486 and it was a 486.
Oh, it might be that far. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I think Pentium was far, far later. Yeah.
Yeah. But it reminds me of I'm sure it was all around that time and it was something crazy like that.
It was 486 and 486i, wasn't it? Yes.
Yeah. It's the same chip, but somebody's taken a screwdriver to it and made it worse.
That's pretty much what it was. And then they'd charge less for it.
Yeah.
YouTube live streaming on Sony PS4 starting.
Yeah, and I just threw this in as a quickie. So if you're on the beta stream of testing PS4 system updates and YouTube gaming, we talked about it last week. It's just launched. And
how quickly has this moved?
And we thought, yeah, I bet you it takes a week.
Yeah, I genuinely thought that Twitch had this all wound up and that it was going to be hard to break into these platforms.
Clearly not.
Apparently, they are tarts for whoever wants their gaming videos. Off they go. They'll drop the pants.
And so it's already out. And also, something I thought was interesting was just a nice, easy way of just sharing a 10-second clip to Twitter. And I saw a couple of people last night doing it. You know, so if you just had a really nice gaming moment, quick share onto Twitter. And I thought, I can see me doing that.
Yeah.
On the very rare occasion that something spectacular happens.
Does very occasionally happen.
Yeah.
Right. Notch, our friend, your friend, Notch. Designer, developer, instigator of a worldwide phenomenon of, but I can't even talk. Minecraft. He's feeling sad and blue because he says he's got all the money in the world. He's got everything he could ever want, but he's never felt more lonely and isolated. And now this voice that I'm putting on is the typical response to when someone who's got a load of money and everything says that they're just not very happy. And it's because we don't have any sympathy for them, yet we probably should, because everyone that's got a load of money and says this is kind of highlighting to the fact that you're aspiring to be something you don't want. And everyone's reaction is, okay, well, give all your money to me. I'll have all your problems, thanks.
Yeah. And I mean, hanging out in Ibiza with a bunch of friends and partying with famous people, able to do whatever I want, I've never felt more isolated.
I totally believe him as well. I totally believe him. He says, I can't have conversation with people anymore because they're not talking to me, they're talking to the billionaire. It's like that dude on Silicon Valley. It's all about the billion man.
I've lost my zero. Yeah, there was other kind of sad stuff, you know, when we sold the company, the biggest effort went into making sure the employees get taken care of, and they all hate me now. And
he's had a bit of a Twitter fight with a couple of them.
Yeah, and somebody,
because they said, we don't really hate you, but give us, you know.
Yeah, somebody came back and was like, it resented the initial shock. You know, mostly hated you for leaving. But then it said, you never reached out to me.
Nobody told me to piss off, in other words.
So F you so hard. So
yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? We it's hard to have sympathy when someone's like done what that much money, but I think it just does show everyone can take a lesson from that, is that we don't need to be billionaires. We just need
at the end of
happy.
The day, I mean, all the articles when it was taken off, when he was quite insular, he was quite shy, he's a programmer, he's a geek. You know, he's some of this stuff just almost like wasn't meant to be. You know, and it's like, I know you've got a lot of money. I mean, the house he bought in LA was amazing. You know, it looks phenomenal. He's having all these, you know, crazy parties and all these celebs are coming around, but it's just, they're just chasing money.
Yep.
You know, it's just, it's quite horrible in some ways to watch. I did like his response to somebody saying, sell the mansion. He was like, nah, it's got a pool.
Quite right. I don't dislike it that much.
No. And when I read that bit, I thought, he's just trolling. He's just bored. Maybe. He's actually just like, ugh.
Still a lesson in life there. Still a lesson in life.
What? Don't make money.
Just don't reach your goals in life. Fail short. And you'll be much happier.
Yeah, I'm really happy, Chris.
I know. I've failed. I'm very happy. Now then, onto some real coolness. Star Wars droid BB-8. Now, in the new Star Wars film, there is a circular rotunda droid that rolls around and beeps. And
I like how you assume that anybody listening to this doesn't know what either Star Wars or BB-8 is.
Star Wars, that rare franchise that you may have watched at some point in your life. This little droid, they've made a home version of it, basically. It's about 10 centimetres tall, and it's like a ball with a little sort of head that sits on it, and it can zoom around, and you can control it with your smartphone as well. So is it automated? Can it move around itself? It certainly can sense the environment.
It does a bit of scanning and sensing of environment, but the video I saw, it just showed it kind of screaming into like walls and bits just falling off. So I don't, yeah, exactly.
And that's part of the fun. But no, it does look quite funky. I would do an internet search for a Star Wars droid BB-8 and watch the videos, because you'll want one, because I want one now.
So it runs an hour between charges. It takes 3 hours to reach full capacity. So
it's own little charging station.
It does. 30 meters from the user up to speeds of 5 miles per hour. It is quite small. It's tiny. You control it via your app, your smartphone, so Android or iOS. And it's £130.
It's it just shows, put a face on technology, and it's very Moorish.
Well, there was an interview with one of the guys. I think it was the Guardian website. If you watch the video, it was like, you know, this is almost like the first, you know, robot friend that you'll have. And it's like, it's the only friend I'll have. That's why I'm buying one. What are you on about? It's your first robot friend.
It's perfect time release for them to ramp up for Christmas. I think it'll probably be a Christmas hit.
It's on sale tomorrow, seemingly. I don't know if that's just America or everywhere, but I will be...
It'll be in enough time for them to sell out in time for the real holiday rush. I said holiday like Americans. So no, it will sell out quick, and then there'll be this mad panic and there'll be a lot of eBay. So I would buy two, Ian, and then you can put one on eBay. Get some PayPal me it.
No, I thought you were going to say you should buy two, Ian, and give one to me.
Do that as well if you want. Buy three. Got any picks for us other than the Star Wars BB-8?
No, I keep on thinking there should be, but I'm kind of behind on things. So
yeah,
no.
I think I am too. I finished Witcher 3 update. I finished that game.
Wow.
Main storyline. I did struggle a little bit. In the midpoint, I don't know how many hours I've sunk into it. Not horrendous numbers. But I have to say, my review of it would be, it is an incredible game. Like I said to start with, to look at the size of it, the scale of it, the scope of it. And I have to say, the crescendo was good. So the actual storyline ramp up, there was only one bit where I just really felt like I was grinding to just get to the next bit of the game. So that's not bad. And there's still plenty left if I want to just go back and dip in and out. And it's a world that you kind of do want to do that. So top marks for as a game goes, it's incredible value. The amount of detail and effort that's gone into it is bonkers. There you go. Witcher 3 is, if you're into that kind of game, which is, you know, adventure role-playing type games, it is a tour de force. Pretty amazing.
Have you tried the Forza demo came out this week? Have you tried that?
I have. I downloaded it and I tried it. It feels... For me, more of the same. I'm still umming and ahhing. Do I want to buy this game? I probably ended up doing it. I'll probably do what I did last time, which was play it about 3 hours and then give up. Which is a lot of money to spend just for 3 hours entertainment.
No, and I've got the Amazon page open just now and about pre-ordering it. So 2 weeks tomorrow.
A couple of the things about the demo that bugged me was the amount of stuff you had to gump, you had to listen and watch through. Without being able to skip, and
which they said it got rid of.
If they do that in the game, you know, it's when if you're frustrated because you've just crashed, right, and you want to restart a race, you just want to start straight away. You don't want to watch the car pulling up into the pits from 4 or 5 different angles before you get to another screen, press start, and then go again. So it's little things like that genuinely in the real game. What's the kind of thing that makes me not play it?
No, definitely. Because, I mean, and it's stuff like, I mean, we've talked about Drive Club before. Nice thing about Drive Club, see if you want to just go again, bump, 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 go again. You know, it was. I think they'd focused on little niggles like that. And one of the Forza interviews a month ago or so ago said they'd listen to things like the, remember Forza 5, there was that whole unskippable Jeremy Clarkson, wow, bollocks, wah.
Yeah.
And you couldn't skip by it. And it was like, I don't need to hear, or the little piano playing bits of music. It's like, I don't need this.
No, I just want to get to it. I just want to play a race. And if I crash, I want the lack of frustration of just starting it again.
That makes me feel quite stabby. I know you shouldn't, but it should just be little things like that shouldn't get in the way.
Yep. But the demo hasn't put that out of my mind because it's very much forced to do that. And that there, I'd like to almost see it in action to check that I can skip it before I even attempt to buy it. It looks so pretty.
I'm going to download the demo tonight and give it a whirl. But ultimately, I might hang fire until the views come out and then decide.
Visually, it looks amazing. The wet looks amazing. It plays okay in the wet. But it's another Forza game. It depends if you're bored of that or whether you really like it.
For me, it's about tracks. I always want more tracks, and they're very non-generous when it comes to extra tracks. You know, it's very much the same as the last one with maybe one or two more. And that just feels like I don't like that.
But I don't think we appreciate what an undertaking it is to create all these new locations rather than just take old ones and update them. Because you do always want the old ones and then plus new ones.
I know, but...
it's hard, but yeah, anyway, it's exciting times for gamers. We're coming into sort of gaming season again, so I'm sure you'll hear more about games coming.
But what I would rather, and again, and I think we're going to see more games do this, I'd rather move to a subscription model that says, like, see instead of, you know, 40 quid every second year, you know, 10 a year, and we'll just keep dropping tracks.
Do you want that really, though? Because
I think for certain games it makes sense.
Subscription models...
The problem is the subscription models are too dear. You know, they want too much from you.
It's, you know, and I think it's always the right level, same, but it's the same with all the subscription models, isn't it?
No,
it's,
I know, but
it's always more than right you would level, pay for.
There's just certain games that don't need, you know, big engine updates. You know, the FIFA engine updates are so small. Sometimes it's like, come on, this is... Yeah. I'm almost paying for a worse game. You know, I've paid 40 quid and the game's slightly worse than last year. That's not on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All good.
All good. Talked
long enough, so thanks for listening. Find out more about...
wait till next week.
Find out more about us, what we do. Digitaloutbox.com is our website. Email is info@digitaloutbox.com if you would like to talk to us. And Twitter is digitaloutbox. I'm on Twitter as GZUK. Blog is academyracer.co.uk. Ian, where can we find you?
Blog is iand.net and Twitter is Shweepa.
Wunderbar. Thank you very much for listening and we'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Apple phone is coming.
I am definitely going to try not to buy it this year. No, I really am. I'm determined. I know. I am weak.
You're only saying that because there'll be another product that you do want. there'll be something else they'll offer.
No, well, the new Apple TV. An Apple TV with an app store is what I've been clamoring for 2-3 years. So that's an instant purchase for me.
Boom.
Insta purchase. Even though I've got Plex on both.
There's the Apple dollars.
So even though I've got Plex on both the
And yeah, you've got Plex where you want it and
Xbox and
attached
PS4.
To everything you need it to attach. So what more can it possibly offer?
Well, I want to play, like, I don't know, Angry Birds with my wireless controller that I never needed.
Of course you do.